Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Well, look at your neighbor real quick. Say neighbor.
Neighbor.
Y'all got to say it now. Come on. Say neighbor.
Neighbor.
I didn't bring any hamburgers.
I didn't bring any hamburgers.
Neighbor.
Neighbor.
I didn't bring any fries.
I didn't bring fries.
Look at your other neighbor. Say neighbor.
But
I brought a shake tonight. Give me a handshake tonight. Come on, give me a handshake. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm Pastor Jason. Like Pastor John said, you got a great church here, guys. Give it up for your pastors. No, for real, you guys got a great... I know John and William. I don't know where William went. Pastor William, he's in the meeting. Okay, Pastor William, I knew him for a long time, too. And he's a great, great man of God. And you got Pastor Ronnie Reed and... all the staff you guys got here. You got amazing staff. So one more time, give a hand clap for your staff. Yeah. So I'll give you a little history before I get started, who I am and what I do. Pastor John said it just on point. I started when I was 19 years old working in kids ministry. And what got me excited about kids ministry was the fact that I love puppets. Anybody like puppets? Come on, be honest. Anybody like, nobody wants to admit it, but they deep down inside you are excited. But thank you. So I always, when I was a kid, my mom used to always put on Sesame Street and the Muppet Show, and I remember watching as a kid. I thought, man, these guys have a fun job. And so I always wanted to learn how to do and manipulate a puppet. And so working in kids' church, that was my first job working in kids' ministry, just being a puppet. Now, I wasn't the puppet. I manipulated a puppet. Okay, anyway, to make sure. But I had a good time playing with puppets and having a good time ministering to kids that God opened a lot of doors. I actually got a chance to travel around the world doing puppetry, meeting also cast from Sesame Street, meeting cast from Bear in the Big Blue House. And I remember watching, because it was a fascination. I wanted to know how they did puppets. And then the puppets was just a tool to get me into kids ministry. And I remember working in kids church. I had all my stories confused between Noah, Moses. I said Noah was the one that split the Red Sea. I was all backwards. I didn't know my stories right, but I had a passion to minister to kids. And then one day the Lord spoke to me, and I'm going to share a little bit about why I'm saying all this, because he said, Jason, if you just be available, then I can use you. A lot of times we're not available. We say we're available, but when God talks to you, we make all these excuses. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, he's not talking to me, he's talking to you. And so I had this fear. Everybody say fear. Each one of us in this room, believe it or not, have some type of fear. You don't want to admit it. But there is a fear of something that you or keeps you from stepping in. And so, for instance, I was afraid of people. I was afraid how to talk to people. I didn't know how to talk. I used to get tongue-tied. I used to stutter. And I remember looking at people, and I started to almost like wanted to go to the bathroom in my pants. Anybody had that feeling before? Two, three, four. Again, you're not lifting your hand. You guys know who you are. Okay. But I remember when I started to do kids ministry and see kids' eyes light up and they were excited. And I said, man, God, I want to be used more. And as we started in our ministry, we started doing kids and then we started doing outreach ministry. We had a breakdance team. We had a drama team, mime team. It was a non-denominational church. It was not a church of God. And it was in Palm Bay, Florida. Anybody know Melbourne, Palm Bay, the other coast is? Yes, back there. So I remember doing that. And so I just started seeing God using young people. To the point that the kids that God was bringing in, I was excited to see what God was doing through them. To the point that most of these kids right now are all grown up. I'm showing my age. And some are actually working for Hillsongs in Australia. Some are working for Master's Commission. Some became children's pastors, youth pastors. All kids who started doing puppets, breakdancing, mime, and doing all this cool stuff with youth. Don't underestimate your power or your ability in this youth ministry. Because God may have you here for a season or a time, but he has you here incubating for something big. Come on, look at me, guys. You thought you were just a jock, and God goes, yeah, I'm using you as a jock right now. Until you finish school, you're going to change the world. Some of you guys thought you guys talented just to do cheerleading. By the way, it is a sport. Sorry. Or soccer, or maybe just your art, your artistic and drawing, or maybe singing. And you thought that was just the thing that God was going to do. And God's only using that just for an avenue, just for a platform to get where he wants you to go. And so look at your neighbor and say, do not be afraid. So I want to talk about this one statement. Everybody say fear.
Fear.
Now, here's what fear means to a lot of my family. I have a daughter, her name is Jaylene, and she is 17, and yes, I look very young for my age, I know. But my daughter Jaylene, she loves to sing, and I remember when she was a baby, and she used to be afraid of everything, especially this thing called spiders. Anybody know what a spider is? Okay. Who's afraid of spiders in here? Okay. One day I was in my house, and I hear my daughter scream from the top of her lungs. I thought somebody was going in a bedroom or something. I run over there, and she's on top of her bed, screaming at the top of her lungs. I say, Jaylene, what's wrong? She goes, Dad, don't you see it? I said, where is it? She says, right over there. She's pointing. And I look on the wall, and the spider was this small. But the thing is that in her eyes, that spider was what? This big. How many times do you see things this big, and it keeps you from stepping in? We say, I can't do it. That's a lie. It's fear. Fear will stop you or block you from what God has for you. You may say that what fear may break down, you heard us before. Fear may say this, false evidence appearing real. It's not real. It's false. It just keeps you bound or keeps you stopping in your tracks. Or the fear of things, or the fear of that, or the fear of what you hear, or the unknown. The definition of fear means this, an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely cause pain or a threat. Fear could be a game changer. You could be the moment where you're doing something and when fear steps in, it stops you. Fear. I remember growing up, I used to go fishing a lot, and I know this part of town is a great fishing town, but in Melbourne, I used to do a lot of wading and catching a lot of big game fish. But I remember one day, it was in the Melbourne Causeway. I'm out there. It was just about overcast. I'm excited. I'm waiting out there, and I got to be very careful because there's stingrays and sinkholes, and I'm trying to shuffle my feet. And I got so caught up fishing that I forgot how far I was away from the shore. And then the clouds started rolling in, and I can't see the bottom of the floor, and I'm freaking out because it may be a sinkhole or a shark. And so I'm over here fishing, just my fishing rod, no knife, no weapon, just a fishing rod and a floating bait bucket. And here I am, and the waves come in, and I see the storm coming through, and I'm looking so far from the shore, and I'm about to freak. And out of nowhere, something rubs against my leg. Now, that's what I said, except the fact I said other things too. Anyway, but here I am, no knife, no weapon, just a bait bucket and a fishing rod. And of course, God's with me, but at that time, I was so afraid. And it rubs against me again. And then I see the water move to the point that I'm about to yell, or I'm going to take my fish, or I'm going to break it, so at least it's sharp, right? And go, all around. I may stab myself in the middle of doing it, but I'm going to stab whatever's there too, right? And that moment, I look, and the waves are coming back again, and it comes up to me, and when it came up, it was a manatee. Yeah, it's cool. But the thing was that he wouldn't leave me alone. So I kept on pushing him away, and he thought I was playing with him, and he's putting his nose against my leg, pushing him away. Anyway, it scared me. But see, even movies we watch or things we see can also put you in a state of panic. I remember growing up watching this movie in the 70s. I'm showing my age now. And it's called Jaws. When you hear this song, I remember when I heard this song, even when I go swimming in the pool, I hear this in the back of my mind. I may be in the ocean, I hear this playing in the back of my mind. I could be in a lake, and there's no sharks in a lake, but I hear this. How many times you've seen something, and it actually put you in a state of what? Panic. You can pause it. Thank you. Jaws. Jaws actually, that year when Jaws came out, beach population dropped. Did you know that? When Bambi came out, Bambi, cute, right? Everybody, all the wives got their husbands upset because they were going to go, I don't want you going shooting who? Poor old Bambi. And hunting that year went down. Don't tell me what you see doesn't stop you from doing something, because fear can keep us from stepping in. Come on, you say amen? But I want to talk about these two moments in our life. We can say, I'm glad I did, or I wish I had. There could be two statements in our life that we can always come up saying. What are those two statements? I'm glad I did, or I wish I had. Say, I'm glad I did. Say, I wish I had. So all of us have those moments we go, I wish I had done that, or I'm glad I done that. Two different statements. But fear is one of those things that could keep it from one of those two statements. I wish I had. I'm glad I did, right? Maybe you're afraid to audition for something at school because you think you can't measure up. Fear. Maybe you didn't want to try out for your basketball team because you think that you didn't have the right skill sets because the guys in the team that were trying out were a lot bigger than you or had more skills. Fear. Maybe it could be the thing of trying out for a worship team or trying out for something else, and that one thing that stops you is the fear that keeps you from stepping in. Fear. Everybody say fear. All of us have it. Maybe it's the fear of talking to that girl because you think you're going to get rejected. Come on. I didn't like it in school. I was afraid, so I'll just give her a note. If you like me, circle yes or how many guys done that before? Don't lie. Okay. We're in the house of God. All right. But fear of being rejected, fear of saying no, or fear of saying to my face, I don't like you. Right? Fear. All of us have that. Come on now. We don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to be in that place where we felt like we're being rejected. Or maybe it's applying for a job or that application for college and you're afraid. What if? What might? Fear. Each one of us have it. Now, I don't know about you. I was not always as tall, dark, and handsome. But when I was growing up in high school, just playing, guys. You're going to realize I like to play around a lot, so relax, okay? But when I was growing up in high school, actually middle school, I was not as tall as I am now. But I remember growing up, I was tiny. I had my growth spurt when I was 16, 17. And I remember in high school or middle school, I wanted to play basketball with all the guys in our neighborhood. Because, you know, I grew up in the Bronx. In New York City, if you're not good, they don't pick you. They just say, scrub, see ya. So here I am. I'm in the schoolyard, and all my friends are there, right? I'm excited, right? You probably can relate to this. And they're going to play a pickup game of basketball, and I'm sitting there going, yeah, they're going to pick me. They're going to pick me. And they go, I want John. Yo, John, come over, man. You're my team. Yeah. Come on. Hey, Fred, you're on my team. Come over here. And they go around picking everybody. You've been those last two people that got picked? And I'm standing there. They're going to pick me second to last, right? And they look at both of us and they go, oh, well, I guess I'll take Jason. You ever had those moments? Feel they're going to get rejected or you're not going to get picked? See, dealing with success many times is pretty much easy many times in our life, but dealing with failure is hard. Sometimes we have a hard time dealing with it, or nobody wants to fail, right? Nobody says, when I grow up, I want to fail. Nobody says that, right? We have moments of life where it's hard to deal with that and or the rejection or not being the one picked. And because we have that fear, we don't take chances. We don't. We don't take chances on trying out on a certain thing because of the fear of saying, if I try, I'm going to get rejected. Or if I do this, I may get not picked or liked. Or I don't measure up, so therefore, why even try, right? All of us deal with that, the fear of failure. Come on, everybody say failure. Look at this statement right here. If you aren't willing to risk failure, you may risk never succeeding. All of us in this room, we are afraid of the unknown, so because the unknown is actually facing us, we don't make any chances or any risk. And I love Michael Jordan. You know Michael Jordan, number 23, is Airness? No, LeBron's not 23. It's Michael Jordan who's number 23. And I remember growing up watching Michael Jordan. As a matter of fact, I went to a Madison Square Garden basketball game when the New York Knicks were playing the Chicago Bulls. And I'm watching Patrick Ewing. I'm showing my age now. You know who he is. One of the best centers in the NBA. He never won a championship. But he was on the field, and here comes Michael the Airness Jordan go up for the dunk. Never forgot it. But even Michael Jordan, if you know the whole history, he got cut from his basketball team in high school. They said he wasn't good enough. I'm sorry. He wasn't good enough, they said. And then he goes to college and he plays for North Carolina. And something transitioned in this guy's life. But he was the one that people said that he wouldn't succeed. But he took a risk no matter what people said and still believed what he believed. As a matter of fact, let's hear what Michael Jordan has to say about failure. Check this out. Watch this clip.
I've missed 25,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games.
Man, so that's wisdom right there, isn't it? I failed over and over and over again, but that's why I succeed. I think sometimes we think everything's going to be so easy, but many times it won't. But just because it's not doesn't mean we stop. We keep on pressing in. So I want to tell you a story. Most of you guys heard a story, maybe growing up in church. I'm going to say it a little bit different, but you heard the story of when God has promised Moses to go into this promised land, this land that is flowing milk and honey. And God told Moses that he's going to enter in, and he's going to take the people, the Israelites, with him. But something happened one day, and I'm going to share the story with you in a different light of these two guys. Everybody say 10. Everybody say 2. Everybody say 12. Okay? There was two guys out of the 12 that had a different perspective than the 10 that were with them. And so the story goes on. When they went to this place that God has promised them, they look into this place that God has promised them. All 12 saw the same thing. Only 2 saw something different. But 10 came back with something negative. Isn't it funny how many times in our life you could be hanging out with people and your perspective is different than theirs, but their negativity kind of dampers your own? Come on. Hey, let's go do this. Man, I don't want to do that. That's stupid. You ever heard that before? Well, I guess we won't do that, I guess, because it's stupid. You know what I mean? Kind of changes the situation. Or some of them say, man, that was awesome. Man, that was dumb. You ever heard that before? Man, it was so good, but then it turned out to be so bad. This is kind of like that same situation. But I'm going to read this to you. It's actually found in Numbers. They went to the land to which you sent us. This is Moses. It does flow with milk and honey. Here's the fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are. Everybody say, but. Everything was good except to the what part? But. Everybody say, but. You notice when our but gets in the way, it messes everything up? Come on, I know I'm being funny, but it's the truth. You can do this. I know I can do this. Thank you. Come on, you're smarter than that. I know I'm smart, Mom. We always throw the butt in there, don't we? And here is the Israelites who knew what the promise was because Moses spoke it over and over again. We're going to this place full of milk and honey, this place that God has promised us. This is ours to take. Come on, we can do this. I see Moses being the big pep rally, talking to the Israelites and the 12 that went, the spies that went out. But these spies, however, it didn't stop Moses, but they said this. They struck fear in everyone's heart from the earshot, these guys who came back, the 10. They spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they explored. And they said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are great size. And look at this last statement. We seem like, everybody say, we seem like. It didn't say they seem like. It said, we seem like. Say it again. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, not in their eyes. Here is the number one tactic of Satan. He wants you to look like everything else out there is bigger than your God. And then we start going, but God, there goes the but again, but God, they are bigger than us. They are stronger than us. And we always put the but and we always put God last. And God says, whoa, ho, time out. Didn't I promise you the promises of God? Just like Moses said, but these 10 came back negative. Everybody say, smaller in their eyes. Have you ever went to the mirror in your house and talked to yourself? Come on. I talk to myself all the time. I may need a doctor, but I talk to myself all the time. You know what I talk to myself about? For real, this is no joke. I tell myself what the Word of God says about me. I'm a child of God. Nothing is too difficult. My God is for me. Who could be against me? I can do all things through Christ. It's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. That's your promise, God. Speaking those things, the Word of God that's declared over you, speak those things. Even despite of what you see, you speak. And these guys spoke something different than what they saw Oh, they know to speak. Here, check this out. Everybody say courage. Courage. Now, here's the two guys. You got Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb had a different perspective than the other 10. Joshua and Caleb looked at the situation, saw it different, and says, we can do this. Let me read the definition of courage for you. Everybody say courage. The ability to do something that frightens one, strength in the face of pain and grief. Everybody say strength. It's that strength you need in the moment of despair or a moment of fear, that courage, that strength. And I think about courage, I think about the Wizard of Oz. The lion. How many of you know the lion? What does he say? I need courage, right? That we all need courage in our lives sometimes. Come on, be honest. How many? Matter of fact, let's hear from him. Let's listen to the lion. Look what he has to say about courage. But, you know, I laugh at this, and it's an old school classic, but the thing is that how many times we have convinced ourselves that we have what? Courage. The courage to overcome, the courage to press in, the courage to look at the adversary and say, no. The courage to look at your friends who are putting the wrong things in your mind and saying, look, I don't need that. Courage to stand up when it's right, even though it's not popular. Courage. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, courage. So here is Joshua and Caleb, and I love what they do. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this in the scripture, but look what they do. Look at their response, these two boys. As soon as the spies began to grumble, everybody say, as soon, they grumbled. Caleb stepped in. I see Caleb being bold. I can just see Caleb just being like, hold up. Look what he says. He silenced the people before Moses. We should go up and take possession of this land. For certainly we can do this. Now, that's probably like that modern-day vernacular, the way they talk, was probably like what we would go now. Man, we got this. Hold on one second. Don't you remember what God did in our lives? We got this. Don't you remember when he delivered us from the hand of the enemy? We got this. This is nothing. This is petty. I can see Caleb doing this and Joshua. But look what happened. Caleb had to silence the people. Everybody say silence. Here's what I mean. Sometimes we have to silence the fear that comes to our ear. Hear me out. Because if we can act bold like the lion when we're in church, we can act like we have all the courage in the world, but when you are home alone and the enemy starts putting fear in your ear, we have to silence it. Hear me out. All of us, whether we believe it or not, we're afraid. But God gives us the courage to overcome. We have to silence the fear that comes in our ear and start speaking faith. Now, did they see the victory yet? No, they even stepped into it. Joshua and Caleb spoke those things that be not as though they were. That's faith. We need to be speaking faith. Listen to me, guys. Maybe you're praying for your mom or your dad or somebody you love. Are you speaking what you see? Oh, you speak what God's word says. Big difference. I grew up in the Bronx. My mom was a crack addict for 10 years. 10 years. Didn't know the Lord. When I got saved at the age of 16, I started looking at my mom different than when I saw her, even though I saw something I didn't like. And I would look at my mom. I remember praying in my closet alone when nobody's watching, saying, God, I see my mom delivered. I see my mom healed. And I see my mom serving you, even though I didn't see it. Are you hearing me? God, before you were born, started speaking over you before you were created. He spoke his word concerning you, even though he didn't see it yet. And what you are today many times is what the product of what we have was spoken over us. Will it be positive or negative? So I have a twin sister. I'll tell you a little story about this. I have a twin sister. Her name is Shirlene, and my twin is five minutes older than me. And she reminds me every day she sees me. She's like, hey, 5 minutes. And I'm like, okay, I know, 5 minutes, all right. So my twin sister is 5 minutes older than me, and I remember growing up, I had this thing because she would not, how many have a sibling that can take a test and not even study and pass with flying colors? Don't you want to hurt them? Okay, I'm just saying. So my twin sister growing up, she would always like, we're in the same grade for first, second, third. Yeah, third grade, all the kindergarten, first, second, third, same class. Until I was getting bad grades and she was excelling. I remember being in class with her and she could not even, she just sit there and go, writing down. Test came, she passed. I'm going, I studied for hours and I couldn't pass. Studying for hours, okay? But it was a different makeup. And here's my point. I remember growing up hearing these words. Your sister is smarter than you. Now, for you, for me, it meant, it weighed a lot. I thought, I can never measure up to be just like my sister. Fear. Fear kept me back from pressing in. When I got saved at the age of 16, my pastor, who was my brother-in-law, now my brother-in-law, but he was my pastor back then, I married his wife's sister. So anyway, you see the relation there. Growing up, he would actually help me. I took algebra, and I couldn't pass algebra. I hated it. Thank you. Thank you. Can I get another witness? Okay, all right. But I had this mental block because I thought I was dumb. And one time, my pastor, my mentor growing up, sat down with me in a room one day and said, Jason, here's what I want you to do. Don't take the test right now. Don't study. I want you to write down. This may sound silly to you, but it worked for me. I want you to write down on a piece of paper what Philippians 4:13 says. I want you to write it down 50 times, writing it down. Now, you may laugh and think, why didn't you do that? Because I didn't believe that I can do anything. I sat down there crying, writing it 50 times. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ. And Philippians, is it like the Philippines? Yeah, you guys spell it wrong. Okay. So how to spell it out right, spell it out right. My point to all that is this. I had to convince myself, or I had to declare to myself, or I had to start believing that I can. I think a lot of our mental block, or things that keeps us going in, is we don't think we can. And God says, you can. And here's Joshua and Caleb. We got this. We can enter in. And look what Joshua says after Caleb spoke. The land we passed through and we explored is exceedingly good. He's declaring what he heard. The Lord is pleased with us. He will lead us into the land, a land flowing milk and honey. He's repeating what he heard Moses say. Again, he's declaring. You with me? And he'll give us, only do we not rebel against the Lord. We do not be afraid of the people in that land because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Say it with me. The Lord is with us. Say again. The Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Again, two different perspectives. Fear, faith. 10, 2. Here's a problem. As much as I love reading this story, it has a lot of truth to it. Even after the 10 came back with a negative report, they still did not enter in. Are you hearing me? God waited for those 10, plus the ones that follow, to die off before they enter in. But two, the only two, Joshua and Caleb, were the only ones to enter in after that time came. I guarantee you, Joshua and Caleb said this, I'm glad I did speak what God said, not I wish I had spoke what God said. Two different perspectives. Because two guys didn't see it coming yet. They saw it by faith. Two guys who knew what the word of God said because Moses declared it over them, the promises, you will enter in. But those two had to keep it on their mouths despite of what they saw. Amen? Let me close with this part. And I'm going to give you a quick story. But I want you to say fear got in the ear. Say fear got in the ear. Now, here's what I want to talk about. How do you identify and how do we get over it? I'll tell you, the first thing you need to do is ask God for courage. Ask God for courage. You know, they say that most of people don't get delivered because they don't confess it. We hide it like God doesn't know. You know God sees everything? You guys know God sees everything? Yeah, he sees everything. You can hide, you can't hide. He sees everything. In a moment when we need help, we don't ask God for help. It's almost like we're playing this game with God and God's going, don't you know I see it? Just ask me. I have four kids, and I love my kids. I will give my kids anything, but many times I want my kids just to ask. Even walk to the room and go, oh, you usually open your mouth and you say something, right? Because I'm a dad, and I want to bless my kids, I just want them to open their mouth and say, Dad, can you? Dad, will you? Dad, I need you. Dad, I love you. Dad, they're acknowledging that he is there. I'm here, their dad. How much more our Father, who knows everything about you, just waiting for you to say, Father, I need help. Are you with me? It's opening our mouth and talking to him. So ask God for courage. Everybody say, ask God for courage in that area. Number two, make a plan. You got to make a plan. If you're gonna overcome something, you got to write it down. You got to make it a plan. In other words, how am I going to get to that place to overcome it? Amen? How am I going to be defeated? God, what does your word say about it? Write it down. What does your promise mean? Write it down. If you're dealing with fear, write it down. What is your afraid? If you're dealing with insecurity, write it down. If you need healing, write it down. What is the plan that God has for you? Start declaring it. Amen? But the last one, you also need to tell somebody. Here's one thing about this generation that I cannot stand. They'll tell everybody on social media, but they won't tell their parents what's going on. Now, I'm going to shock you guys. You're going to think, man, he's a bad dad. No, he's not a bad dad. Listen, I'm going to do. My kids have social media, but I have all their passwords. Ooh, man, he's a tough dad. He's in their business. No, it's not because I'm in their business. I love my kids so much that I want to know what's going on in their lives. Amen? But you know what? We'll tell our best friend who's your best friend 1 week and not the next week. But we won't tell your pastor. You won't tell a leader. You won't tell a mentor. You won't tell your coach. But you'll tell somebody else who has no business knowing what you're going through. And you know what? Sick people can't help sick people. Let me say it again. Healthy people can help healthy people. Or a healthy person can help a sick person. But a sick person who's sick can't even take care of themselves. Better yet, take care of you. Find somebody. I love the fact growing up, I had somebody that who can get in my face and I wasn't afraid for them to talk in my face about it. I needed somebody in my life like that. Why? Because there was fears that I had to overcome. And I couldn't do my own strength. But we have to, one, ask God for courage. Two, write it down. What is God said about you and what those promises are, all the things you're dealing with. And three, find somebody. Tell someone. Amen? And I'm going to close with this. Joshua and Caleb said, no matter what, the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. I mean, when I hear the story of Joshua and Caleb walking around, I mean, Joshua going around the walls of Jericho. I heard the story growing up as a kid. I thought, oh, that's cool. You know, it's a cool thing. The walls came tumbling. Joshua at the Battle of Jericho. Jericho. You know the song, right? Okay. It's a cool song. But the Lord spoke to me one day. I want you guys to hear this. When I thought, why was he doing it so many times? Why was it making him go around so many times? I didn't get it. At a certain time, they all shouted. At a certain time, they were all worshiping. At a certain time, they were all playing. And the Lord spoke to me. Listen to this, because this is what all of us deal with right now in our lives. He had to get them to start declaring what God said. There was murmuring. There was complaining. It's hot. I could see teenagers going on that wall. It's hot out here. I'm going to do how many times? But he had them at certain times of the day, all confess, all speak, all declare, all worship, all get in God's face, and God got in their face all together. And it didn't happen one time. Then it happened two times. It did it over and over again until, like, after a while, it became normal. Even notice when you come to church on a Wednesday night, when you have a youth service, you're on fire for God, and God's talking to you, you leave here. But then when you go back to your normal routine, you forget what you learned. Maybe God's telling us to get overcome fear. Start doing what I want you to do, God says, over and over again, till you start seeing the victory overcoming the area you're dealing with. There was a guy who wanted to get married to this girl, and he loved her. But he was 18, the draft took place, and he had to leave. And he told his fiance to be, his future wife, I said, I'm going to marry you. I promise you I'll marry you. But this is the deal. I got to go for a year. And she was heartbroken, but she loved him. And she said, okay. He said, but hold on. To seal this promise, every day I'll write you a letter. Every day I'll tell you how much I love you. I can't wait to be with you. I can't wait to marry. Every day I'll write this letter. 365 days. And she said, okay, promise. Let's do it. And he goes. And every day this guy wrote this letter to his fiance. Then the year came up and he came back from his training, and he goes to the future house of the future mother-in-law's house. He gets to that door. He's excited. He can't wait to see his bride-to-be, and he knocks on the door. And the mother-in-law opens the door and says, hi, how you doing? And he goes, where is my wife? And she hesitated. Didn't say it quickly enough, but she stopped for a second and says, she is not here. What do you mean she's not here? I mean, I made this promise. I said it every day. I would write her a note. I love you. I miss you. I love you. I miss you. And she said, yes, you did, but she's not here. She got married. At that moment, that guy's face turned and he said, what do you mean she got married? Who does she marry? And the mother-in-law said, she married the mailman. Now, there's a reason for the point of the story. It wasn't so much, I love you, I miss you, I love you, I miss you. It was the person who delivered the mail to her. Listen, guys, we come to church, and we can say a lot of lip service. God, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. But when you make a personal contact with God, are you hearing me? A personal contact with him is not just the words we speak, it's the actions we walk out. Amen? This is what I want to do tonight. Because the Lord spoke to me. I was over there worshiping, and man, you guys killed the worship, man. Thank you. It was awesome. The presence of God was here. But there's a lot of you guys in this room, God's been pressing on your heart, and you feel your heart about to beat out of your chest because God's trying to get your attention. But it's not just trying to get your attention for attention's sake. He wants to hear your mouth. He wants to hear your act of worship. This is what I want to do tonight. There's going to be a couple of requests I'm going to pray for, but number one, there's a lot of you guys in this room. There's fears that are holding you back. There's books to be written in this room, books to be written in this room. There's songs to be written and composed and put together, songs. There's dramas and dances that God's birthing you guys, and you're holding back because you're afraid. What would they say? What would they do? I may not measure up. And God says, I don't care. It's not for them. It's for me. Don't let where you came from stop when you're where you're going. Guys, I grew up in the hood. My parents weren't serving. My parents still don't serve Christ today. My twin sister got saved. Praise the Lord. God's still working on my family. But it's not going to stop me from worshiping my God. To the point when I visit my mom, she goes, there's something different about you. She sees Jesus. But it doesn't stop me. What is stopping you? Your family? Maybe you're the answer to your family. You're just holding back. Your friends? Fear. What if? Just close your eyes for a second. This is what I want to do tonight. I know it's going to sound really direct how I say this, but hear me out why I'm saying this. When you come to the front and that's you, I don't want you praying for somebody else right now. This is between you and God. Don't lay hands on them. I want you to ask God tonight. Because here's what I know about God. He's our dad. He's just waiting for us to open our mouths and say, Dad, I need help. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. I'm insecure. I have doubts and worries about my future, about who I am. And God just wants to make that personal contact with you tonight. He wants to speak to you tonight. I believe tonight, some of you guys might hear the voice of God for the first time. I believe tonight, some of you guys are going to have a 180 experience. You're going to turn around from where you were, and God's going to take you where he wants to take you. I know the word of God gets preached here. So it's not the word, it's your obedience. So here's the first request. Number one, what are you afraid of? And if you are afraid of something, I'm not going to even ask you what it is. You have to tell me. But there's fears, there's doubts, there's something that's holding you back. And God's been talking to you and you've just been pushing it back. If that's you, I want you to come to the front. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that just quickens us and checks our heart. I think we could be sensitive to your voice that speaks louder than anything else in this world. We just got to listen. Lord, I pray for every student that's here in the front. You know what they need. But I ask, Father God, as we pray, that they open their own mouth and they tell you. Not in their mind, with their mouth. We're going to do that in a few minutes, guys, okay? The guys in the front. The second request is this. And maybe some in the front already, that's part of the second one, but hear me out. I felt, Pastor John, I went back there to the game room, we're walking around and seeing your students. You got some phenomenal leaders. I'm not talking about the adults. There's some of you guys in this room, you feel a call to ministry. It's been bugging you. It's been scaring you. To the point you don't even want to talk about it anymore because you're afraid that God's going to tell you what he wants you to do, but you know he's calling you. That fear, I can't be like somebody, or I can't act, or I can't preach like this, or I can't do like this. And you know, God is probing your heart daily about this thing. I believe it's not the days when we graduate from high school you can start preaching. I believe it's the days when obedience to respond. Listen, I'll be honest with you. Obedience is not, serving God is not an age thing. Hear me out. The calling of God is not an age thing. Maturity is not based upon what the maturity that we see as a human nature is. Maturity in God is a response and running with it. If that's you, and some of you guys know what I'm talking about because you feel your heart about to beat out your chest right now, I want you to stand up too and come to the front. Come on. You feel that calling. You know God's been talking to you. He's been talking to you for a while. Jesus. Maybe they're in the front already. I don't know. But I just feel that in my heart. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's more. The Lord is telling them there's more. I don't know who you are, but I'm not going to stop until you come. Come on. There's more. God's been talking to you. You've been having dreams. You've been having dreams. And it scares you. I'll tell you, as we're there, because I think there's still more. But let me tell you what I, when I, God gave me a dream a long time ago when I was 19 years old. And I didn't understand the dream, but I saw the dream. I saw me standing in the middle of an arena like the Orlando Magic Arena. I don't know why I was standing there, but it looked like the Amway Arena, the old one. And I saw all these students coming and kids and families all crying out, lifting their hands and worshiping. And I'm standing there doing something. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm standing in the middle of the stage. And I tried to figure out what God wanted. I didn't get it. And I thought I was going to be a conference speaker, go around as a big arena and pack out like that. And that's what I thought I saw. But then it went away. 10 years later, I was in a youth service in Tennessee. Never forgot it. We were doing a youth service, me and my team. And as we're there, we had kids come to the front to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this guy out of nowhere, I didn't know who he was, came up to me and said, "The Lord wanted me to interpret that dream for you had when you were young." He said, "The arena was the world. The students and the parents and the kids are the families you're going to reach throughout your lifetime. But don't worry how you're going to do it. Let God take care of it. Fear just lifted from me." You know, the Holy Spirit is not just something we speak in tongues for. It's beyond that. The Holy Spirit gives us boldness. He gives us strength. Overcoming faith. Amen? Pushing you through. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, man, God changed my life. That radically just blew me away. Are you hearing me? Faith, not fear. I want to pray for these students. Can we all stand up, everybody? Even you guys in the front, come on, stand up for a second. I know you guys are praying, but let's just stand up. This is what I wanted you to do. We're going to sing this song. Whatever song leads in your heart, brother. But this is what I want you to do. I don't want you praying for nobody in the front. I want them to lift their own voices, okay? Because I want them to open their mouths and declare. And if you're afraid to say something in front of somebody next to you, then move in the sanctuary. Nobody can hear you. That's fine. But I want you to say it, okay, guys? The ones in the front. The rest of us, I want to do this tonight. I want to worship him. Is that okay? Remember, when the Israelites went marching, it was not just to march sake. It was getting the words on their mouth. You can't worship with your mouth shut. You know that, right? Come on. I'm praying in my head. No, you're not praying in your head. You're just thinking in your head. You don't just think about praying for your food. You got to pray for your food. Amen? I want you to do, as we sing this, even if you can't sing very good, it doesn't matter. God's not closing his ears. He loves it. Amen? I want you to worship him like there's nobody else in the room. You had those kind of worship moments? Well, you're the snot and you're crying and you can care less if somebody thinks of that moment. You know what I'm talking about? That moment, where it may be your life or death situation concerning what God's been putting on your heart. That moment, overcoming fear. That moment, where you can care less what somebody thinks moment. Let's do that tonight. I can tell you this. I've been in services when people worship like that and got healed. I've been in services like that where people worship like that and got filled with the Holy Spirit. They were afraid. Always heard the stories, but they were afraid. And God spoke to me and they got baptized in the Spirit of God. Hear me out. Some of you guys are going to get baptized tonight. And you don't even know why. And God's going to say, "You're not afraid. I'll give it to you." So if you need to move out of your spot because you're going to say something you want nobody to hear, then do it. But I need you to lift your voice tonight. What are you afraid of? What are you asking God tonight for? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's worship. Come on. Come on, lift your voice. Come on, let's all lift our voice.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.